You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Friday to you. It's time for Tailgate Talk, the new episode where I'm inviting someone to come chat with me. Now, typically it's been somebody that's Bills centric, but not this time. We're gonna mingle with the enemy here. I got my buddy Mark Schofield on the horn today, and Mark's a Patriots fan, and so this should be really fun because I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a Bills fan, and so we got some really contrasting rooting interests here in a big game. And I like to think of myself as a reasonable football mind. I know that Mark is an exceptional football mind. And, these conversations are very much designed to be if Mark and I were at a tailgate outside of Highmark Stadium on Monday night, what is the stuff that we are going to talk about? So I'm going to crack open a can.
Here we go.
Mark Schofield to the podcast. Welcome, my friend.
Cheers, buddy. I got my little, we're recording this in the morning. I got my C4 energy drink that I'm going to be coursing through the veins here. I'm excited to be here. Excited to talk about this game. This is just going to be a fantastic night of football, I think, on Monday night. I'm really looking forward to this. I will say I'm a little bit surprised that I'm here this early. I expected a conversation like this to be like 2 years down the road. I'm kind of excited that the Patriots are at least right now back. We'll see how long that lasts, but very much looking forward to this chat, buddy. It's good to see you, man, and I'm excited to dive in.
Mark, the last time you and I had a conversation was October 14th, and you hopped on a Zoom call with me and Kyle Krabs. Kyle Krabs, Dolphins guy, right?
Dolphins guy.
Yeah. Dolphins fan. And you know what you said? You got on the horn, and I said, "Hey, Mark, how you doing?" And you said, "Well, doing good, but just staring up at the Buffalo Bills." Yep. Trying to get at that level. And you looped Kyle into that conversation. You said, "Yeah, we're just trying to get on your level, Joe." And at that time, the Bills were 4-1. They just beat the Chiefs, right? Everybody's really excited. Pats were 2-3. Miami was 1-4. Well, fast forward to present day. The Patriots are in first place in the AFC East. They're the hottest team in football, a 6-game win streak. The Dolphins are the second hottest team in football, right? With a 4-game win streak. Meanwhile, the Bills have kind of been and every other week, good team. And they're now in second place. And there's questions about this team. There's excitement, but there's questions. So my, oh my, how the tables have quickly turned, a humbling reminder of what the ebbs and flows of a typical NFL season can be.
Yeah, and I think that's it. This is a typical NFL season because, 7 weeks ago, the Los Angeles Rams were the best team in football. Matthew Stafford was an MVP. Sean McVay, coach of the year. Now people are wondering if they're even going to make the playoffs. A couple weeks ago, Tennessee Titans, best team in football. I was on a radio show and I was like, yeah, they're the best team in football. Derrick Henry gets hurt. Now they're wondering about the Titans making the playoffs. And so the Patriots are the hot team right now. But I do think it's fair to point out in their 6-game winning streak, they've beaten the New York Jets. Okay, the Chargers are a pretty good team.
Yeah,
they beat the Carolina Panthers with Sam Darnold through 3 picks and a pick six. They beat Cleveland, who also seems to be in free fall. Atlanta and Tennessee without Derrick Henry. I mean, sure, you play who's in front of you. And I know there's a conversation to be had about the Bills, the Patriots, and the schedule that they've got because you get the NFC East. Like there's that element to it. But it's not like they've gone out and beaten the best teams in the league. It's not like they've gone out and had this 6-game win streak against, teams like the Chiefs, teams like, NFC teams that are very good, like the Packers. The two best teams they've played this year, arguably the Buccaneers and the Cowboys, they lost both those games. And you and I both know there's no such thing as like moral victories in the National Football League. And so I think it's important to remember that kind of context. They haven't had a challenge like they're going to see Monday night. Yeah, you go west to play the Chargers. Good team. It's basically a home game. You watch that game live, you rewatch it. Chargers, they don't have home fans. It was a friendly environment. So I think that in that sense, they've played well in typical Bill Belichick fashion they seem to have figured out what it is they do well on both sides of the football, and they're really emphasizing those things right now. They're playing their best football November into December. Yeah, but talk to me after this game. Talk to me after the Colts game in a couple of weeks. Talk to me after that second Bills game. Like, it's good that they've figured things out. Now it's time to see if it's real or if in a couple of weeks we'll be saying, yeah, remember when we thought the Patriots were good, but here we are again and it's the Chiefs, or here we are again, it's the Bills like we thought. Like, this has been a strange season. It wouldn't surprise me if in a couple of weeks we're like, well, you know, that was a nice little stretch they had, but once they were tested, then we saw what they were really made of.
Well, it's interesting because I know the Bills are coming off of a 13-3 season with a lot of the same ingredients. And so I think you can feel a little bit differently about the team because there is some sample size to go off of. But I think a lot of that's true for the Bills in terms of, well, yeah, they beat the Chiefs when they were reeling. You know, what's the big quality win on the schedule?
Right.
They had the blunder to the Jaguars. You know, they haven't won a close game yet this year. You know, Tennessee was close, but they couldn't finish. You know, they had their stumble against Pittsburgh, you know, and so they've had some amazingly dominant moments, but this is one of those stretches that I feel like we have a very similar mindset towards. All right, you got two against the Patriots, you got Tampa next week, you know, you just played the Saints. I know they were shorthanded, but it stiffens up a little bit and you're going to find out a little bit more about what your actual team is this year. Again, Patriots are really different from last year, and so measuring them with that in mind is really unfair. It's like a completely different football team in so many different ways. And so, yeah, it's a defining stretch for both teams. And so, man, we got to start talking about Mac Jones, right? Like, that's like the next thing we have to get to. He's, you know, some people are putting him in the Hall of Fame. Other people are saying he's a game manager, you know? So it's both sides. And I think that really stems from his polarizing presence as a prospect and some of the thought that he could go number three overall. And then he just kind of doesn't, right? And then he stumbles down the board, and I think everyone in the back of their mind knew that if he stumbles, it's going to be the Patriots at 15. Here we are, right? A lot of mixed opinions out there. I know you know quarterbacks. You played quarterback. Like, you get it. I trust. When I have quarterbacks questions, I ask Mark. Everybody needs to know that right now. I ask Mark when I have a question about quarterbacks, like behind the scenes. And, dude, I just did Kenny Pickett this morning, so we're going to have a conversation soon. But, bro, whoa, I feel some type of way there. We're not getting into Kenny Pickett on the Locked On Bills podcast right now, though. All right. What are the best three things about Mac Jones right now?
Accuracy, decision-making, and ability to beat the blitz when he sees it coming. Like, I think those are the three things that really sort of stand out right now. And I get it. Like, the Mac discourse is all over the place. I mean, I do weekly videos breaking them down for Pat's Pulpit. They go up on my YouTube channel, and the conversations, the comments range from, yes, this is awesome, he's so good, to, you're an idiot, Mark, because you wanted them to draft Justin Fields. Like there is already an entrenched bunker mentality around this kid in New England. And I understand it. I think the truth is, as always in this game, and honestly in life, it's somewhere in the middle. He's been good, like, for a solid rookie quarterback season. Like, he's been good in that sense. I don't think this should be the surprising part, though. Because wasn't this the Mac argument? It was, he's a pro-ready guy. Like, he's not going to make a ton of mistakes. He's not going to make you look foolish. Like, he's an NFL-ready quarterback that has a very nice floor to him. The floor was Mac's argument. The question has always been the ceiling. And I've talked to some people in and around the league, talked to some people in and around that building up in New England, and they say, well, yeah, this is good. Like, this is what we're hoping for. Talk to me in 2 years. Talk to me in 3 years. Like, what does he look like down the road? What's that ceiling? Now, you know, I think that part of the discussion is, if you thought he was like a Garoppolo Cousins type quarterback, maybe the ceiling's a little bit different now, seeing how he's already acclimated to life in the NFL. Maybe it's more of a Matt Ryan type of ceiling, right? Where he can sort of be a guy that maybe wins you a game here and there too. He's not just a guy that's going to be part of it that you win games with. And so the Mac discourse has been fascinating, but I do think it's somewhere in the middle. Like, he's been good. He's been the best of the rookies. He was put into a very good environment. And so I think this is kind of what we should have expected. Now let's see how he develops. But in terms of those three things, the accuracy, that's what the Patriots want at the position. I mean, we saw that during the Brady run. We saw what it looked like last year with Cam. Like, this is an offense that is predicated on yardage after the catch, quick decision-making from the quarterback, getting the football to people in space. If it's 3rd and 6 and your best option is a shallow crosser, a yard downfield, throw it, and hopefully we'll get something after the catch. So the accuracy, the ball placement, that's been a strength. The decision-making, you know, obviously there was a conversation early in the year about you know, he's not pushing the ball downfield. He's not being aggressive. He's too conservative. Well, you know, I think that stems from the way they've built this team. We're going to have a very good defense. We're going to run the football. Like, if it's 3rd and 7, you don't have to force a throw. Throw it away. Check it down. Like, we'll live to fight another day. And that's how they've kind of constructed things. So he's not making a ton of mistakes with the ball. Might there be opportunities to hit throws downfield that he should probably at some point start hitting, or at least trying to hit? Yeah, but for right now, where this team is, I think they're comfortable with the decision-making. And then the blitz stuff. And I think Mac was never going to be a guy that you get an unblocked guy off the edge like Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or Trey Lance or even Trevor Lawrence, he's going to make the miss in space. That wasn't his game. But if he could see pre-snap a blitz coming, and I know you probably watched that Alabama-Notre Dame game a ton of times. There was a play early in the game where he saw that interior blitz coming, and he knew right away, I got to bail, roll out, extend it with my legs, and he can do that. You know, you think back to the Atlanta game, for example, Daron Harmon, safety blitz right through the A-gap, through depth. He could see it coming, just drifts in the pocket, makes a quick throw. They move the chains on third down. But if you bring pressure off the edges, he's not at a point where he's comfortable right now, pre-snap, right at the snap, confirming the coverage, checking the edge pressure, then reading the secondary again. Like, he's more, I'm going to assume that that's blocked up on the backside. So you can get to him off the edges. And so that's an area where I think he needs to improve. But if he can see it coming, if you're doing that mug the A-gap stuff and Brady one or both of those guys are doing that rain read blitz where center turns one way, that guy, other guy pops. And yeah, he can see that and handle that. It's the stuff off the edges he needs to get better at.
Let me give you my elevator pitch thoughts on the best things about Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And I said this on yesterday's podcast, so this won't be new to the listeners, but it might be new for you. I think you're exactly right in that Mac Jones has delivered exactly what we thought he would to this point. And there's a label that's getting thrown around right now, and that's game manager. And here's what I'll say about that. That's not a bad thing. He's proven a baseline level of play through 12 starts in the NFL. That's good, right? Like that a lot of teams would like to have. And especially when you apply it to his peers, right? Like the other quarterbacks that were drafted this year, don't you think that Jacksonville would love for Trevor Lawrence to have some game manager abilities of Justin Fields or Trey Lance or heck, Zach Wilson? The Bills would have loved for Josh Allen to have game manager ability back in 2018, right? Like it's not necessarily a bad thing. To me, it's a bad thing only if this is as good as he'll ever be.
Right.
And so I think that'll naturally get us to the next part of the things I wanted to ask you about. But I want to interject something in here that I heard Coach Belichick say. I was listening to his press conference on Wednesday. And, you know, sometimes Belichick pressers are tough to get through, but I want to hear what he has to say about the Bills. And he said something about the Bills defense that I'd never thought about. And I'm surprised because I think about this team a lot. He talked about how it's a base nickel defense. And like not just a base nickel defense, like an always nickel defense. The back seven defenders, same guys, every friggin' play. And he said that's really hard to deal with because you don't know. Like there's no tips. There's no tips based on personnel or groupings or anything like that that's going to give you any indicators. None. What do you think about that as somebody who's played quarterback? And what do you think about that as it relates to some of the stuff you just talked about regarding Mac Jones?
It's terrifying. It's honestly terrifying to think about because, you know, when you don't have an opportunity, say, you know, you're doing your pregame study, your tape study, and you know, look, when they bring this guy in, they're always in zone. Or when they bring this guy in, they're always in man. Like there are no tells, like you said, which is huge because I've often talked about that decision-making window as a quarterback. And a good offensive coordinator, a good offensive play caller, play designer does what they can to extend that decision-making window where you're getting tells pre-snap, whether it's motion, personnel, whatever, formation, alignment. Okay, I know it's this coverage, or I've at least got a very good idea it's this coverage. There's nothing like that. And you can still do things schematically, formation, personnel on your side to try to get that out, but it's not easy, you know? And then the communication element to it. When you're talking about five guys that have played together, that play every snap together, that like, no, okay, this is how fluid we're going to be. We're going to show two high, spin it to single high. We can do it right at the snap because we're all on the same page. That's very difficult to deal with as a quarterback. And so that's a challenge. And for Mac's perspective, look, I mean, the ability to sort of make good decisions has been a staple of his career to date, but it's always going to be difficult when you're seeing something for the first time that's so fluid for the first time, that's so well-crafted and designed for the first time on the road on a Monday night in a big environment. That's going to be tough to handle. And so, again, I would imagine that New England's idea is we're going to run the football and really sort of try to make it easy on Mac, try to limit, let him be that point guard game manager, which I agree with every word you said. That's fine for right now. Eventually, he'll have to grow beyond that, but that's the ceiling discussion. I would imagine New England is going to really sort of try to lean on quick passes, tight ends, backs, screens, all that kind of stuff to limit complex reads on route concepts downfield. Because when you're facing a secondary that's so familiar with each other, that's so fluid with how they do things, and when you're facing the best safety tandem in the game that is incredibly good, just the two of them at how well they spin their coverages, that's tough for any quarterback to deal with, let alone a rookie quarterback making his 13th career start.
So you just mentioned he's 13 starts so far, and this will be his 13th start.
Yeah.
How many starts did he have at Alabama? Like 15 or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're talking enough about that in terms of him showing this baseline level of play. And we're talking about advanced understanding of defenses, processing, yep, decision-making, you know, passing game concepts, where to go with the football. This guy started, before he got to the NFL, 15 games since he played in high school.
Yeah. Like,
let's not lose track of that when we're thinking about Mac Jones.
And that goes to the sort of, you know, the pre-draft, you know, tall tales about Mac Jones, of him teaching Bill O'Brien the offense, of like, he's a brilliant guy. But there's something to be said for that. It's one of the cliches, right? He's a film guru. Like, sure, he's a gym rat. Like, he's a crafty white wide receiver. Like, all that stuff. Like, the cliches that get thrown around pre-draft. But they seem to be true about Mac Jones. I mean, the depth of knowledge. And Josh McDaniels has talked about it. Like, they put a lot on their plate for the quarterback position. They trust him with protections. They trust him with pre-snap adjustments in terms of protections. You will see him against teams like Carolina with those mug looks, him adjust to the back, bring the tight end in, all that kind of stuff that you want to see from, you know, more experienced quarterbacks. He's doing it as a rookie.
Yeah.
And so I think there is something to be said about, like, his level of understanding of this offense and the things that they ask him to do. New England is, interestingly enough, one of those teams that, you know, I would typically rail against. You know, they're forcing you to run your offense. They're not tailoring the offense to what the quarterback does. A lot of us, Ben Solak, others, you draft Mac, you're going to run a lot of RPOs. You're going to throw the ball deep off of play action. Like, that's what he did at Alabama. New England's like, no, we're not an RPO team. Like, this is what we do, and we're going to trust that Mac Jones can do it. So far, he's figured it out pretty well.
It's funny you mentioned that, throw it deep off of play action. In my studies of Mac this week, I was floored to see that he has the lowest average depth of target and yards per attempt with play action. And he's good with play action. He just doesn't necessarily use it as a launch point for shots down the field.
No, their play action game, it's the same. It's always really bad. Run action, crosser at the second level.
Yeah.
Like that's where they want to live. And they're fine with that. Yeah. They're fine with that. And you watch him at Alabama, you look at the numbers at Alabama. When they were going play action, RPO action, whatever, he was going deep. Like, he was attacking Waddle downfield. He was attacking with Smith downfield. That's not what New England wants to do. Now, they might get there eventually, but their bread and butter is that trap pass where you show run action. You've got Smith, or you've got Henry, or you've got a wide receiver attacking the second level because it's an easy read, easy throw, condense the field in terms of where you're attacking, but you get yardage after the catch. That's where they want to live.
You listen to podcasts for the power of the inside track. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone so you can listen to the latest episodes and keep up with your favorite players and teams. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $30 a month per line so your family can share all the insights. And with the power of one of America's largest 5G networks, you can do it all at the speed of 5G. With all the money you'll save and all that edge you'll gain, just how powerful will you become? Switch to Boost Mobile and find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save, Boost Mobile. Free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage not available everywhere or for all phones and networks. See BoostMobile.com for details. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, Built Bar. Filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, but amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and high in protein, you get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. And they got so many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. Will you have raspberry or mint brownie, cherry or double chocolate, cookies and cream or peanut butter brownie? So many wonderful flavors, and Built Bar gives you that extra fuel that you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. Or if you're just standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse. You never know when you're going to need it. Are you friends with Santa? Well, tell Santa to throw a few Built Bars in those stockings. With so many flavors, they'd make anyone's Christmas morning a happy one. And I got a deal for you. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My guest today is Mark Schofield from USA Today's Touchdown Wire and several other places. And most importantly today, he's a Patriots fan. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with Mark, the Patriots fan. And so, Mark, we've buttered up Mac Jones all I care to do to this point.
Yeah, enough of that, right?
All right, that's out of the way. What are the three worst things about Mac Jones right now?
Well, I mean, I think one, and we kind of alluded to it, it's the ceiling / depth of target, pushing it downfield. Like that's an area that is not a club he has in the bag right now. There's been improvement there, which I can talk about, but that's an issue. There's the pressure off the edges, which I think is an area that he's going to have to get better at. And look, that there's sort of an, I don't want to say an arm strength concern, but his arm is good. It's not great. And you start thinking about what it might be like Monday night. You know, whether we get the snow that's being advertised on the European model or whether it's more like the American model we're seeing. And I love the fact that Joe pre-show was talking about the difference between the European and the American models as a like self-imposed like weather geek. That warms my heart. But The arm strength thing, if you get wind, if you get that lake effect wind, like that could be an issue. Like he's got an NFL average to good arm. But if you start thinking like Leslie Frazier, Sean McDermott, they're going to crowd the box and make you throw it deep to beat him. Can he hit some of those throws in NFL windows? So those are the three areas. It's, you know, the challenging windows downfield generally. It's the blitz pressure stuff off the edge, and then it's the arm strength question that I think are three areas that I'll be watching rest of the season and going forward, that if he's going to extend or crash or go beyond the ceiling we see for him right now, those are the three areas that are going to be critical to doing that.
So one thing about the design of the Bills defense, and I know that you're aware of this, is that it's very much designed to take away shots down the field and really force quarterbacks into difficult throws where it's okay. You want to make throws outside the numbers? All right, cool. Like, that'll be there for you if you can make it. But historically, the Bills in terms of average depth of target against their defense is unbelievably low. Like it's dead last in the NFL year over year, and it's not close. How do you think that plays into Mac Jones and his strengths and weaknesses as a passer?
I mean, I think that's almost an area where they're happy to do that. You know, right now they're happy to, you're going to make me check it down.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm happy to do that. I'm willing to do that. And so, yeah, I think of the sort of push and shove between these two teams. That's a trade-off that they're willing to make. If you want to make us have 14 play drives? Fine. You know, I'll throw hitches on 1st and 10. I'll throw shallows on 3rd and 6. Like we're fine doing that because that's where we want to live anyway as an offense. We want to be this ball control, quick passing game, rely on yardage after the catch. And oh, by the way, if you're making us do that, 17's chilling out on the sideline.
Yeah.
Like that's the flip side to this. That, you know, if you can keep Josh Allen on the sideline and make him a spectator, you're happy to do that if you're Bill Belichick. And so it makes you wonder, does Buffalo change kind of what they do? Do they be more aggressive and kind of say, look, you know, we're going to force you to make these throws. We're going to take away the underneath stuff, force you to try hit stuff over the top. Sort of the playbook you often saw Rex Ryan use against Tom Brady. Condense everything underneath, you know, you're going to run a shallow crosser. Would have dropped, you know, Jason Taylor off the edge and have him chip crossers, chip Wes Welker, take that away and force Tom Brady to beat us outside the numbers and deep. You might see a Rex Ryan sort of game plan on Monday night as a result.
So interesting, because that's what they did to Tua in that matchup. That's what they did against the Mike White Jets team. And so part of my preparation for this game plan was, I don't know if that's the right idea. I think you have to treat Mac like he's a regular quarterback, and because he's proven he can beat the blitz. And I think his passer rating when not blitzed is top five in the NFL. So it's not like there's a major issue there. I mean,
right.
So like, all right, let's get to that. I'm jumping all over the place. What are your core objectives of a game plan that you would put together for the Bills defense against what you know about this Patriots offense? Like, how would you script that together?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing you sort of want to do is you want to bring pressure off the edges. Like, I think you want to go after Mac Jones, but you want to construct those in ways that he's not comfortable reading that stuff out. If you're going to bring, you know, Edmonds, if you're going to bring him on interior blitzes and things like that, if you're going to bring Milano on cross dogs with him, he's going to beat that. Like if it's something he can see pre-snap in front of him, he's going to beat that. And you don't want to blitz him in those moments. You want to bring sort of late rotations and blitzes off the edges. So whether it's breading one of the safeties down and blitzing him backside, I think you want to, you know, for Bills fans listening to this, watch the Atlanta game, because Dean Pease, who has spent time in New England, who knows how their protections work inside and out, dialed up some stuff off the edges that Mac could not see, wasn't ready for. You show those mug looks, right? You walk Milano and Edmonds up into the A gaps. Mac will go through his adjustments, drop those guys and bring Poyer or Hyde off the left edge. They'll try to make that squeeze call backside where Wynn has to block both defensive end and Milano. I mean, excuse me, and the safety, bring the safety then inside on a little twist off of that. You'll get home. Like Mac is struggling to read stuff out like that. Josh McDaniels has talked about that. I do think that, look, we know New England's going to want to try to run the ball, but this is not going to be the defense we saw against the Colts, right? You got Starr back, you got Edmonds back. And so, you know, New England's going to try to run. They're going to do some trap stuff, some gap power stuff on the interior, but let Ed Oliver penetrate. You know, because you've got Starr to eat some blocks up as well. That will keep Edmonds clean. I think that's an area where, as Buffalo fans, as Buffalo's defensive coaches, you're going to be comfortable with that. I think you're not going to see a Jonathan Taylor-like game from this New England Patriots offense because of the guys you have coming back. So I think you want to blitz off the edges. I think you're going to be okay stopping the run. And the other thing is, I think in that secondary, when you don't blitz, you want to spin late. That's a typical argument I would make against a young quarterback. You want to spin late, you know, rotate. It doesn't matter what you're spinning from and to, but just spin late, because so much of New England's playbook is predicated on route conversions based on coverage. And I know that's not a, you know, New England only thing. A lot of teams do that. But the way that they can spin, Buffalo is, for years, they were able to confuse Patriots receivers. They were able to confuse receivers when they had Tom Brady. Now you're doing it against Mac Jones. Because remember, Nelson Agholor is new. Kendrick Bourne is new. The two tight ends are new. And so Mac might read it right. You know, you might spin from, say, 2-1 or 1-2 or whatever. And Mac might still read it right. But you might get a receiver that reads it wrong. You might get a tight end that reads it wrong. And now Mac's throwing a post route to the middle of the field, but that tight end stays vertical, and he's throwing it right to a safety. And so there's opportunities to confuse other players, not just Mac Jones. So when you don't blitz and when you're playing coverage, spin late, try to confuse people.
BetOnline has you covered all season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football season continues the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to their new updated website and sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, and BetOnline is where the game starts. So, Mark, let's dial in on just our like actual feelings and thoughts about this game. And so I want to hit it from both sides. We'll start with the Patriots perspective. When you think about this game, Monday Night Football, what's that positive prevailing thought when considering this matchup? Like, what gives you the most optimism about this matchup specifically that will or could lead to a Patriots win?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a couple of things, Joe. I mean, it's that trend of a Patriots team coming together, figuring out what they do well, playing their best football November into December. You know, this is obviously an organization that has been in some big moments. And in terms of figuring out what they do well, I think it's important to remember they used to be a very heavy man coverage team, right? We know Bill Belichick, Steve Belichick, they want to live in that cover one man free world. And as recently as that game against Dallas, 23 coverage snaps in the man coverage family, 0, 1, man, 2. All right. Since then, they had 11 such snaps against the Jets, 5 against the Chargers, 6 against the Panthers, 5 against the Browns, 6 against Atlanta. They're a zone coverage team right now. So they've really sort of figured out that we can get pressure with 4 and 5 up front. We can drop guys into zone coverage. We can keep the eyes on the QB, which is certainly something you want to do with Josh Allen. So on the defensive side of the ball, they've figured out what they do best, and they're doing it at a pretty good level. Now, of course, you see the quarterbacks they've played in recent weeks. I mean, the best quarterback they've seen in this stretch is Herbert. That offense has kind of neutralized him in a sense because it's so quick game, West Coast influenced right now. Baker, who's banged up. I mean, they haven't played great quarterbacks. Tannehill is without his best weapons when they played it. So, you know, there's a question of, okay, well, Josh Allen, when you played him last year late in the season, and it was that stretch of San Francisco, Denver, New England, when he had figured out his own coverage and was just destroying worlds, that might be a problem. But that's what gives me hope, though, is that they're playing their best football right now. They figured out what it is they do well on both sides of the ball, and they're really emphasizing that. It's a big game environment, but it's an organization that has been in some big games. And let's, you know, Mac Jones, for all you want to say about him, he's been in some pretty big games.
Yeah.
You know, you played SEC schedule at Alabama. Coach Saban said it the other week, you're getting everybody's best shot week in and week out. So even if it's Missouri, whoever, you're going to get their best shot. So he's been in some big games too.
So from the Bills side of this, if I had to find my reasons for optimism, well, I think that always starts with 17, right? Yeah. Like when you have a quarterback like 17, you got a chance to win any game. And so there's, I always confide in that. But I also really like, you know, just throwing away all the scheme stuff and X's and O's, everything that goes into like that, what's going to happen, like unfold and script on the field. I like that the Bills have kind of found an underdog mentality.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a pissing contest all week between Bills and Patriots players. You know, Patriots players are like, you know, they're the reigning champs for a reason. Bills fans are, well, they're in first place right now for a reason.
Yep.
And I think the Bills lost that a little bit. I early in the season, or, you know, even right now, I still have questions about whether or not they are an entitled football team that, you know, they kind of step on the field, expect it to go a certain way. When they get some resistance and it doesn't happen, you know, they haven't really shown that ability to really scratch and claw and get out of a rut and just play a game where it's not perfect for them. But at the same time, you know, you feel like they're at that point in the season where if that switch is going to flip, it will, right? Like you had the good performance against the Saints. You get a lot of players back. I know Trey White's out. Like, we can't understate that, but Spencer Brown back at right tackle means Darrell Williams is back at right guard. John Feliciano could be back at left guard. I mean, this offensive line could legitimately be upgraded in 3 spots in addition to, you know, Star Latulule being back in this lineup. Like, that stuff matters a ton. And so I like where they are in terms of health minus Trey White. But also that if there ever was a time for them to embrace this underdog mentality and find that hunger that fueled this team last year, you know, I think it's now at home, Monday Night Football, in a big game. And so I like that. And the third thing that I would say is a lot of the stuff that you talked about in terms of what the Bills defense is capable of from a passing defense perspective, I like it, right? I really like their design defensively. I like the way that they can bring pressure off the edge, and I like how sound they are. Now, look, Trey White's not in the lineup. This is the first game without him. That's a huge X factor, but you're probably just going to ask Dane Jackson to stay leveraged and tap into your linebackers and Edmonds and Milano, who are very capable of playing up on the line of scrimmage and threatening the A and B gaps and peeling out and getting depth and, you know, really making things difficult. And of course, like you mentioned, Poyer and Hyde. I mean, those guys are sensational.
Yep.
And so you tap into that. You know, I think that's where you find your edge here against a, like you said, a Patriots offense that everything's new. You know, I mean, like, you have some offensive linemen and Damian Harris. That's it. You know, like Jacoby Myers, the other two receivers are new, 2 new tight ends, Ramondre Stevenson. You know, it's kind of a good recipe from that perspective. Yeah. So if I'm going to find that optimism, you know, that's where I'm clinging to from the Bills perspective. Now, Let's go completely the opposite. Actually, you know, let me sneak a question in here. What's going on with Michael Onwenu, right? Like Trent Brown came in, he was the right tackle, and now Ted Karras is clinging to that job at left guard. I thought he was going to be the left guard. What's happening there?
I thought he was going to be the left guard too. I mean, I really thought, look, when we went into this training camp, it was you're going to get Wynn, Onwenu, Andrews, Mason, Brown, like from left Killers. To right. That's going to be your right. starting five. And it's going to be a fantastic offense. Yeah. Karras has kind of locked up that job, and you know, he's playing extremely well. When you have Michael Onwenu as your sixth offensive lineman, as your swing tackle, as a guy that you could slide in on the interior as well, that's a nice place to be. I mean, obviously, look, they're without Dante Scarnecchia, Hall of Fame level assistant coach, offensive line coach. But this offensive line is a huge part of what they're doing. And their run game, while not as schematically diverse as, say, San Francisco or even Indianapolis, it's pretty schematically diverse. You'll see gap, you'll see power, you'll see duo, you'll see inside zone, outside zone, crack toss. Like, they do a lot. This is the five they're happy with right now. And a scary thought is Trent Brown, now that monster of a man, they love running crack toss to his side and getting him out into space. And I think you might see that 5-10 times on Monday night. I'm surprised as you, Onwenu, as their sixth guy, but this is the five they feel best about right now. Karras, he's solid in pass protection. Like, he's certainly not a Joe Tooney type. He's certainly not a Shaq Mason type, but he's solid enough and they feel comfortable. And when you're talking about protecting a rookie quarterback, you need the guys to feel comfortable amongst themselves, that communication. I think that's part of it too.
All right. So I've been thinking about Onwenu all week and I'm like, oh man, I gotta get this question in before we move on to, you know, the other side of what we just talked about in terms of from a Patriots perspective, Monday Night Football. What are those negative thoughts that are prevailing on your mind when considering this matchup? Like, what's giving you cause for concern?
I mean, it's a couple of things that you mentioned, obviously. It's that fear that Buffalo is going to tap into that identity of the underdog. When you've got the national media basically anointing Mac Jones as a Hall of Fame quarterback, anointing Bill Belichick as coach of the year, saying that the Patriots are fully back right now, talk of a Brady versus Bill Super Bowl right now. It's really getting ahead of ourselves here. I mean, we're talking about a team that has won six straight, but as we've talked about, against some inferior teams. And so whenever you have an opportunity as an organization to close ranks, circle the wagons, as Berman would say, and say, we're the underdog now, even though we're the defending division champs, we're the underdog. Somebody's coming into our house. There's an opportunity to tap into that for Buffalo that, look, this is an emotional, physical collision sport. And when you can build that emotion pregame or over the course of a week into a Monday night and have it explode in front of the home fans, that terrifies me. I'm terrified of a Patriots win, defer, Buffalo goes right down the field and scores, crowd's going crazy, Patriots go 3-and-out. That's nightmare fuel for me. And so that concerns me. The stuff we talked about from the Bills from the defensive perspective concerns me. Getting Edmonds and Starr back, I think, is going to cause problems where New England wants to try to run the football because it allows Oliver to penetrate. You want to let him penetrate and trap him, fine. But now you've got Starr swallowing up blockers, Edmonds and Milano free to get to the football. That concerns me as well. And then, of course, there's the idea of this is Mac's first huge NFL test. And I'm confident that he'll hold up, but I'm not 100% confident. You know, it's a very good defense, two extremely talented safeties. And so there's a concern that he might play okay, but it won't be good enough on Monday night. Or what if we see Mac's first true, real bad game? How does the team sort of respond to that? So those are the things that worry me.
From my perspective on what worries me for the Bills is the Colts game.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much of what the Colts did that New England can replicate, particularly running the football, especially if we get wind and snow. You know, you saw some wham blocks from the Colts. You saw some short traps. I mean, pulling that tight end back inside and trapping the three technique and running right behind that. Come on. Now, you know the Patriots are going to do all that
got
stuff.
New England has got it. I talked about it on my show. New England has it. I listed the play. New England's got it in the playbook. So,
bro.
Yeah.
Nightmares about that. All right. Yeah. And you want to talk about just taking your will. It's, you know, being friggin' cold, wet and, you know, windy, and you can't stop the damn run. Now, look, I get it. Star Latulele back matters a ton. Jermaine Edmonds back matters a ton. Those guys weren't there against Indianapolis, but goodness gracious, like, it's going to be some big boy football here. And the Bills haven't always met that moment, right? Like, I'm just being honest. They haven't. And so from that perspective of what I think the Patriots can accomplish in the run game with Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, who are a really good pair. I mean, Stevenson, good Lord. I mean, he's a rumbling big old dude, man. Like that guy's a player you just want to have on your team. Right. And you don't want him to be on the New England Patriots. And he is behind that offensive line in the run game. Like that is concerning to me. And the other thing is just like the overall Patriots script, which is really good defense, force turnovers, allow teams to beat themselves, play great special teams, and don't beat yourself on offense, kind of been what's working against the Bills this year, right? Like that's the Pittsburgh script. That was the Colts script for the Jaguars game. It was that, right? And so I've seen the Bills fall into the script that the formula that the Patriots have found to win football games. I've seen the Bills fall right into that multiple times this year.
Yeah.
You know, and so to me, there's a lot to prove from that perspective. I mean, I mean, when I kind of marry together my optimism and pessimism, I don't know where it really lands me. I don't, you know, I mean, the play of the game, we'll find out. But, you know, I think the range of possibilities for Monday night are all over the place, man. And there's a lot to prove for both teams. And I think we're going to learn a ton about both of these teams on Monday night.
Yeah, we are. The scary thought, Joe, is this might be the first of three. I mean, these two teams, they might see each other again in the playoffs. I mean, it does seem like both teams are in position to make the playoffs. So we could see this play out a third time. And I think you're right about the range of possibilities. Like the only possibility I don't see is a New England blowout. Like, I don't think that happens. But I can certainly see close New England win, close Buffalo win, maybe even a Buffalo blowout. But I think it's a pretty large spectrum. I'd be surprised if New England wins this one going away. I think it's going to be a one-score game either way. I think these are two pretty good football teams. And like you said, it's going to be a physical game up front, but it's going to be a heck of a fun game to watch.
Let me sneak one last thing into you.
Don't do it.
Don't
make me. Don't ask me the roof question.
Yeah, we're getting the roof question, Mark. Ah. We're getting the roof question. Heck, we're outside Highmark Stadium right now, you and I. We're in the parking lot. It's friggin' snowing.
My toes are cold, man.
Right. Even if the European model, the American model doesn't matter, right? We're cold, bro. Yeah, we're cold out there. And I know that, you know, I'm down here in Charlotte, North Carolina. You're down the mid-Atlantic a little bit. But, you know, selfishly, I know that we both want to be sitting in beautiful conditions to watch football games. My question for you is, you know, you know what's coming here.
Yeah.
The listeners know what's coming here. There's going to be a new stadium built in Buffalo soon. Soon as in the next 4 or 5 years. A lot of debate. Open air, dome. It feels like a lot of the enthusiasts for the dome are really rooted in Josh Allen's the quarterback of this team, and we want to see perfect conditions for him to throw the football. And the people that are rooted in the open air stadium is embracing the elements of your region and building a football team that's difficult for them boys from Florida and Texas and California to come to your place late in the season and in the playoffs when the games matter the most and make it difficult for them where you're used to those ingredients. You are a Patriots fan. You've seen Tom Brady. You've seen Drew Bledsoe. I don't know that the New England's quite like Buffalo, but it's cold and it snows there and all that type of stuff. Where do you fall on this? Like, put yourself into a Bills fan's mindset right now and tell me your thoughts.
I mean, I think there is a strong case to be made that you want to use the elements to your advantage. I mean, I saw over the course of the Brady run, you know, some games where you're in a divisional round on a Saturday night and it's like 15, you know, zero with the wind chill. And you've got the Tennessee Titans coming to town and Steve McNair is struggling. You know, Drew Bennett is struggling to make catches because it's just cold and they're not used to those elements. I've seen many a late season Miami at New England game where you've got Jay Fiedler in the snow and he's throwing pick sixes to Teddy Bruschi and the fans are throwing the snow in the air in the stands because they're not used to the elements. There is a case to be made that, look, you know, use that to your advantage, build a team, you know, because Josh Allen's not going to be there forever. You know, maybe he's the next Tom Brady and he plays till he's 45. Maybe he's not. And so, and even if he is at some point, maybe the offense isn't going to be as high flying as it is right now. And so there's a case to be made that you use the elements to your advantage and you build a team that has the ability to just wear down on opposing teams that aren't used to those elements, use that physicality up front and make them want to get back on that plane by halftime. And you can certainly do that. So from a selfish standpoint, look, there are two reasons why I think I'd love to see Buffalo build a dome. One, so I could go there and enjoy it and not have my toes be frozen. Two, I'm showing Joe my hands, all right? These are baby hands,
brother. Okay? No, you know about my hands. We've had this conversation.
We've had
Kenny Pickett hands, bro.
There it is. I knew that was coming, but we've held our hands. I remember in the Lad Peebles in some cold days, we both have small hands. It's tough to throw that. It's tough to throw those elements. So as a selfish quarterback that likes to see good quarterback play, yeah, you know, build a roof, make it sterilize the conditions. You know, whoever is playing quarterback after Josh Allen will have some nice conditions to throw in and all that fun stuff. But I think, look, as much as that's the selfish point of view, I very much like the case that you build the stadium and allow the elements to be that 12th man. You know, I maybe on another show earlier this week, I said, yeah, you know, selfishly build the roof, all that stuff so it can come up, but use the elements to your advantage. So you have those teams, you have the Dolphins coming up in December for that late divisional game, and they don't want to be there. They want to be back on the plane by halftime. I've seen it work for the Patriots over that run where you have that Saturday night. Look, how did the Brady run start? Tuck rule in the snow. If that's a sterilized environment with a dome, you're probably not getting that game. And then that's one of my favorite football hypotheticals of all times. You know, if the Patriots lose that game against the Raiders, what happens next? Does Belichick go back to Bledsoe? Does Brady become Brady? Like, who knows? So
I like to go back to the moment where Mo Lewis decided he was going to kill Drew Bledsoe.
And he was just like, if Mo Lewis just lets up on the sideline and just sort of escorts Bledsoe out of bounds, what happens there?
What are we doing right now? Who knows?
Well, who knows? I'm probably still practicing law. Nobody needs that.
He's Mark Schofield on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Touchdown Wire, USA Today, Pat's Pulpit, a lot of great places you can find and consume his work. And I don't know how you didn't listen to Mark for the last half an hour or so on this podcast and not want more from him. I certainly do. I love consuming your content. I love the, what is it, the three throws?
Three throws, man. And you get a lot of them from Josh Allen. Because
yeah, you know I'm retweeting that every time. You getting this Tua stuff on there? And that ain't getting the retweet from me.
No. Kyle retweeted it, though.
Bet he did.
Kyle, that was nice of Kyle.
Bet he did.
I will say, kids, every Monday morning, I walk downstairs, I sit at my computer, the first guy I pull up is Josh Allen.
Really?
He's that fun to watch. He's just that fun to watch because, as I said last year, so many of those videos that I did for Allen, I just, by the end of it, I'm just like, this freaking guy. Like, they're just throws that he makes that it's just, this is absurd.
It's funny. I was listening to Mac Jones as well as Bill Belichick this week, and he's talking about Josh Allen's game and how, you know, there's just things he can do on the football field that not every quarterback can do. And I'm sitting there like, yeah, you're talking about yourself there, Mac. Talking about yourself there, Mac. I had to get that in, Mark.
You know,
get out of here, man. You know, this is the Locked On Bills podcast. I got to cast a little shade before Mac puts that gold jacket on. And what, you know, he's going to play 30 years, right? At least.
Oh, dear God. He's going to outlive me.
All right, my friend. Looking forward to Monday night. Thank you so much for this discussion. Thank you, everyone, for listening. That's going to do it for us this week here on the podcast. We'll be back again for you on Monday. It'll be our typical Friday show since the Bills are playing on Monday Night Football. I kind of use this opportunity to do the tailgate talk on Friday. We'll do our normal Friday podcast on Monday, and you'll hear from Dr. Kyle Trimble about the injury situation. I'll give you my predictions, some leftover thoughts. A lot of good stuff coming for you on Monday, so don't miss it. Make sure you're subscribed. Would love it if you took a second to rate, review, and share the podcast. Have a great weekend, and I look forward to catching up with you again on Monday.